What do you mean there's no hamburgers? How can you have a diner without any hamburgers? Why wouldn't you just...
Oh, right. Oh. Man, this gets worse and worse. No hamburgers. No hamburgers. You can't have a diner without hamburgers. It's what people expect. It's the spine of a diner. A diner's reputation rises and falls on its hamburger. And its coffee. And its ability not to poison people. Too much. You know, we don't mind so much about the people who are passing through and get poisoned, because you generally tend not to hear from them. They end up in another state, another jurisdiction. They call it different health departments. Kind of hard to pin down. But more or less, you want a good hamburger that just doesn't poison the regulars. And I've always been proud of the diner's hamburgers for their non-poisoning quality. I have nothing to do with it, of course. It's not like I'm back there in the kitchen making sure that they smother all the meat with Purell before they put it on the grill. That'd be a good idea, though, to come to think of it. You know, if the Purell and the grease people could get together with some sort of antibacterial frying solution, it might work. But anyway, they have no control over the kitchen. I have no control over this place at all, which is part of the problem, I guess. If I had actually a measure of control here, if I owned the place, if I were king of the... I might have been able to stop this nonsense. I wouldn't have sold the diner in the first place. And two, I wouldn't be going through what the diner's going through now, today, as we speak. Hi, folks. James Lilacs here at my custom place at the long boomerang pattern for Micah Connor here at the diner out on Old Highway 23, about 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be at this very moment. And got a bit of a conundrum, a bit of a pickle. A pickle wedge or a sliced corrugated one, it doesn't matter. It's essentially pickly in nature. It's a twofold situation here. The first isn't that big of a deal yet, but when the diner was sold, apparently, so was all the land around the diner. And the new owners of the diner sold the land to a developer who wants to put up... No, I'll get to that. First, the no hamburger thing. I'm looking at the chalkboard menu by the door now, and it's empty because there's no hamburgers. Because? Why? Well, when the diner changed hands, a new manager was brought on board, as often happens. I've never met the guy. I've never seen the guy. For all I know, he's been back in the kitchen whipping people or peeling potatoes or whatever. I have no idea. No one's seen him. But it turns out that he used to work for another diner, some chain operation in town. And that when he left them, well, apparently there was something, a little bit of a non-compete clause there, and he, by total mistake and accident, I'm led to understand, actually sort of left his other place of employment with a seasoning manifest for their burgers. That's right. Now, you'd think to yourself, how hard can it be to season a hamburger? How many trade secrets can there be in the hamburger biz? MSG, a little accent, some Lowry's seasoned salt, some Jane's crazy mixed-up pepper, if you wish, a little dash of horseradish, a little dab of Worcestershire sauce, a little chopped onions in there, some delicious, delicious smoky cheddar. You know, that's how you build a burger. It's not tough. It's not hard. It's not like running a newspaper, for example, where you got to figure out, how do we sell a newspaper? How do we make money at this? Well, ads, that'd be a good start, and then you work from there. No, a burger is fairly self-evident. But, no, I guess it's some sort of trade secret, and he took it with him. Paprika, that's probably it. It's probably a smidgen of a half of a jot of an atom of paprika that they added. And now, because of that, because supposedly he took the, by mistake, the trade secrets of the restaurant, we have no hamburgers here because the diner can't serve hamburgers. We're under some sort of court injunction to be hamburger-free. You know, when people expect that, people really do expect a hamburger when they come to a place. I mean, if they open up a diner menu and they see something, you know, trendy, like a salad, they'll let it slide. And oftentimes because the menu is so greasy, it just comes right straight out of their hands. But if they're hungry and they've come to a diner for a reason, it's because they want the circular patty, the circular divot of meat that has been seasoned to perfection and cooked on a nickel-coated grill. Not today. Anyway, I mentioned that the land had been sold. The land has been sold to a developer. And what do you think he wants to put up outside the diner? Oh, it's huge tracts of land, believe me. They're going to take down some of the woods on the other side of Old Highway 23, get rid of some of the fields. They'll probably have to cart off the 9-foot-tall Pillsbury Doughboy Terminator robot from the future that's been standing out back for a few weeks, but good luck with that. No, they want to build... Are you ready? You know, you've probably been through this yourself. If you live in a big city, you know what it's like to all of a sudden have a developer or somebody who owns a particular item of a many individually staffed item of civic pride, shall we say. One of those things that you can point to and say, we're a big city because we've got these guys. One of those things when people come in a business trip, you take them to see these guys. The sort of thing that you bring your kids up to see. Let's go see our guys. That sort of thing that every single city has. And other cities want so badly they will spend hundreds of millions of dollars in public subsidy to get them away from another country, from another city. Well, we've got one of those. And they want to spend $290 million of taxpayer money to build across the road from the diner an orchestra hall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. An orchestra hall. We've got a football team in this town that's begging for a stadium. Begging, and all they want is $900 million. That's all. That's all. They'll kick in $2, $3, $4, $10 as long as we cough up $900 million. Can we help them out? Can we help out the poor, poor football players? You should see them. They're just sticks. They're wraiths, practically. They're so underfed. No, no, no. We've got to build an orchestra hall. You know what? Do you know what orchestra members are? You know what these guys get paid? Not, you know, half of them aren't even from here in the first place. I don't know where they live. But, they come in from Japan or Europe or Canada or wherever, and they set up shop here for a while, and they saw away at their violin for a couple of years. You know, we're supposed to all go gaga and say, go orchestra. Doesn't mean anything to the vast majority of people around here. But yet, nope, we're going to do it. $300 million. Build ourselves an orchestra hall on diner land. We'll probably drag the light rail out here, too. Oh, I've seen the predictions. Cars, trains, just stuffed like Indian railways with people in tuxes and good suits coming out to see the orchestra play. And you know what? They also, get this, they want a retractable roof. So for Summerfest, they can just pull the roof back and everyone can play outside. Like, you know, that's really great because it's going to be, like, I don't know, 30 degrees, 20 degrees or something in the spring. It gets cold here. And they're going to be wearing parkas and gloves and playing orchestra out in the middle of the elements with strings snapping and valves freezing. It's just a nightmare. They'll probably slap a hamburger tax on us too. That's how they pay for these things, you know. 0.05% hamburger tax. We'll take it off after the orchestra is built. And then, of course, we're going to have to keep the tax on because the orchestra isn't making enough money. You know, boo-hoo. I'm sorry, I'm just a little head up. It just burns me. It burns me. Because the football guys are playing in a place that's got to be 20 years old. I'm serious. And the locker rooms, I've seen them. There are sections, swear to God, painted concrete for our football players. Not even any automatic flush toilets in the owner's booths. I know, it's absurd. It's absurd, but there it is. What are you going to do? All right, well, I'm going to have to amuse myself here by getting myself in a better mood. No burgers and wasteful public expenditures on classical music. Well, let's see what culture we can find in the diner jukebox, shall we? We've restocked the whole thing again here, so let's go to B2. Great, Carmen. Wasn't Carmen a cigarette girl or something like that? It's probably the PC version where she sells gum.
Ah!
Sorry.
I better shut that one off. Yikes. And that's what they want us to pay $350 million to support. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, the price has gone up $50 million since we last spoke. That's the kind of tripe that they want us to pay money to support. Got it. I can see they've stocked the jukebox here with all sorts of classical propaganda. All right, then. I'll take a flyer on C8. Well, now that, of course, is good music. That's PDQ Bach. That's a couple of selections from his Schlepptet, I believe, in E-flat. Major, even. I'm surprised it made it on the jukebox. Now, you see, if they play stuff like that, then I can see people getting behind spending 300... What is it? No, it's 365. Well, that's not bad. For an increase, that is. $385 million to build a new orchestra hall. Folks wouldn't balk so much if they played the popular stuff. No, they gotta go play the esoteric stuff. Well, I almost hesitate to try another one here. Let's see what we have in the Fs, shall we? Let's play F4. No. Tremulous strings, horns, off stage. I mean one thing. Bruckner! We're gonna be here all day! You gotta pay attention to this. You can't just read a book to this. You can't read a magazine to this, you know. You can't get up and talk to your friends. You can't have a hot dog. It's not music to eat hot dogs by. I mean, some of your light stuff, some of your furniture music, as Sate used to call it, that stuff, you know, that's what people want. You can dance to it if you want. You can do your nails to it if you like. But this stuff, this is serious music. Stand back! Get back, Mr. Bruckner! No! No! No!
Oh, yes! 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 Mein Führer, I can walk again!
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, that... Music has a strange effect on me sometimes. Oh, okay, well, you know, enough. Ixnay on the Uknerbrae. You can't expose impressionable young men to music like that. It would have a completely deleterious effect. It would make them violent, and they would want to go out and imitate the behavior that they'd just seen on stage on the orchestra hall. Ah, let's see. Boy, it looks like this thing is just chock full of classical abominations, if I'm not being redundant. Now, let's take a look here let's try J4. It's like somebody's turning a cat inside out. Since I've done that, but I think that deserved it. I believe that was Florence Foster Jenkins, a socialite, who was under the impression that she could sing, was under the impression that people wanted to hear her sing. But she had money, and so she commissioned some recordings. And the next thing you know, she was immortalized as a laughingstock for the rest of her life. Boy, if ever there was an example of, better to keep your mouth shut and make people suspect you are stupid than to open your mouth and remove all doubt, that's the case. Poor Florence. Oh my God, it's back. Bruckner, it's back. I thought we got rid of it. But no, it's back. Brace yourself. Kidneys. I'm going to be passing blood for days after this. And now a word from our sponsor.
Not so many years ago, tomato soup and cream of tomato were unusual dishes, enjoyed very much, but not very often. Today, of all the soups in the world, tomato soup is the one most often served. Not because women have taken to making tomato soup frequently. No, on the contrary, few housewives ever attempt it anymore. There's just one reason for tomato soup's popularity, and it is this. The magic, matchless flavor of Campbell's tomato soup. There's a lively verve, a dashing zest about this flavor that people take to at once and come back to and enjoy again and again. The first racy taste of it has a way of arousing a desire to eat, and yet there's a pleasant feeling of satisfaction when the last spoonful is gone. So this soup is a happy choice for the main dish at lunchtime or at supper, and it also is a fine way to start the day's main meal. Serve it sometimes, too, as cream of tomato, made with milk instead of water. You can always be sure that it will be received with pleasure.
Waiter! Waiter! Bill, did you ever see such poor service? I'm going to call a manager.
Take it easy, Walt. What's mostly wrong is your grouch.
I'm sorry, Phil, but my digestion is so upset.
What you may need for your poor digestion is something that works after nature's own order. Try Carter's Little Liver Pills.
Good advice. When your digestion is upset and you feel headachy and irritable, take Carter's Little Liver Pills.
You see, each day, nature normally produces about 2 pints of a vital digestive juice to help digest your food. If nature fails, your food may remain undigested, leaving you headachy and irritable. To feel cheerful and happy again, take Carter's Little Liver Pills. They increase the flow of this vital digestive juice quickly, often in as little as 30 minutes, and you're on the road to feeling better. Don't depend on artificial aids to counteract indigestion when Carter's Little Liver Pills aid digestion after nature's own order. Take Carter's Little Liver Pills as directed.
Jeff Lynne of the Electric Light Orchestra. I loved him, then I hated him. Then I came to love him again. But the strange thing is, everybody thinks they know what he looks like, right? He's got the smoked aviator glasses, he's got the beard, he's got the frizzy hair. I think it's all the disguise. You know, the beard's held on with spirit gum, it's a fright wig, he takes off the glasses, he's bald, nobody knows what he looks like. He could be walking next to you at the mall and you have no idea that this guy crafted so many hits that it's worth about $48 bazillion. Yeah, but if even Jeff Lynne is singing about classical music today, I guess I'm resigned to it. No rock and roll scones for me, Mother. I'm off to play the grand piano. All right, well, this thing's probably chock full of classical. Let's try D10 and see what we have. Whoa! Whoa! Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, that's John Barry, Raise the Titanic. That's not classical music, that's movie music. We all love movie music, don't we? You might ask, what's the difference exactly? Well, it's simple. First of all, movie music is friendlier, and we're used to it, but it has the same instrumentation and orchestration and tonal palette and the rest of it. It's not as complex, but it's working in the same tradition. In fact, you could even make the argument that it was the great classical, or rather classically schooled, movie music composers of the later 20th century who kept alive the romantic, classical, Western tradition. after it had been abandoned to the serialists and the 12-tone con artists and the rest of the academics who turned classical music into something that sounded like a metallic ferret being wrapped in aluminum foil and fed to a wood chipper or something. You could say that. I wouldn't, though. No, sirree, Bob, because once you start defending movie music, then, of course, you're sniffed upon by all the snooty people who want us to spend, I think it's $400 million now for this classical music outdoor auditorium they want to build here next to the diner. And, you know, if the diner doesn't even get its hamburger recipe, its hamburger license back, they won't even be able to capitalize on the trade when they build this thing. Who needs it? I mean, really, find me one good, potent, pure, simple piece of classical music with the wiggly voices. That's the difference I'm going to make. That's the distinction I'm going to make here. Find me one of those with the wiggly voices that anybody likes, that anybody really wants to hear a second time. Because they don't. Because opera is boring. Because symphonies are boringly long. Because Bruckner is interminable. And Mahler's a neurotic. And Beethoven's bit of a jerk. I don't think he'd give you the time of day if he sat down in the cafe next to you. And as far as the opera stuff goes with wiggly voices, I don't know what they're talking about. I don't care what they're talking about. And frankly, it doesn't hit me where I live, you know? It just never hits me where I live. I think we have time for one more piece here. A1.
All right, folks. Spare change. Spare change. We're going to build an orchestra hall. Come on. Come on. Dig deep. That hall ain't gonna build itself. That's right. That's right. Every little bit counts. Thank you. Well, while I collect for the building of the orchestra hall, which it's up to $425 million the cost now, it's gonna be beautiful. It's gonna be gorgeous. I'll have to say goodbye here.
And thanks for dropping by. I'm James Lilacs, and this has been The Diner for Friday, June 29th, 2007. I'll see you down the road.